This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP afternoon pieces of production in a row. Also, with Ike, Spike,
here
and Fred.
They're just trying to pump up the broadcast.
It was just three of them in a row. It's like, what are we doing?
We have to let everyone know we're here.
We are at spring training. We're at Baker Ballpark. There's no ball game today. It was raining a little bit earlier. We ran out in it. It's not raining anymore. But are they back in town? They're back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, they're here tomorrow.
Back tomorrow. But our spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, which we love, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Speaking of the Phillies, and we will get to the Zach Bond extension and a question I asked Ike before the break about the most important player to bring back that isn't Zach Bond now that he's off the table, right after we talk a little Jackie baseball here.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
So things aren't going well for the Fightins right now. They're down a cool 12-0.
And what was it, 12-3 yesterday?
Yeah, 12-3 yesterday. Wheeler shelled yesterday.
And you need to be concerned about the pitching.
Listen.
Lizardo got shelled today.
Shelled today.
Three. That's great.
So Rob's now, in my opinion, at least one of them was windblown. Okay, so there's some windblown home runs that happened down here. It was right in the middle of Rob Thompson being interviewed in the booth, yeah. And he had to sit there as three straight home runs.
Three straight home runs while he's getting
interviewed. Back to back.
Wow.
Yeah, so not great for Odjesus. You can blame us. You know, yep. I think he was just so starstruck after yesterday's interview that he's a little bit thrown off. So we'll take that one on the chin.
Well, Ike was on the borderline HR violation with how he was talking to Lizardo about his arms.
Yeah, I got to admit I was. Yeah. Yeah. I had to rethink that afterwards. I might have been a little aggressive.
Listen, pitchers don't always look like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Pitchers don't always look like that. They're a little bit need a gut and skinny arms. That's my that's my horse. You know what I mean? So
little David Wells looking guy.
David Wells, that's a pitcher.
Right. Yep.
You know, that's a pitcher.
Yep.
Lizardo, that's a linebacker. So interesting audio here in 1 second about Bryce. It's something a conversation he had with the Phillies this offseason. But I did want to point this out. So Jeff Passan, you know, asked a bunch of scouts, you know, who are the 10 players that are really generating the most buzz in all the spring training. And one of the 10 players was Chris Sanchez.
There you go.
There's a lot of Chris Sanchez buzz out there. His fastball's reaching like 98 has changed a lot of things. So it's exciting. And now he'll probably get shelled his next time out, given that's what's going on with the rotation right now. But, man, on paper, it's exciting. It's exciting. So can't wait for that. Now, Bryce, before we talked to him yesterday.
Somebody asked him the hard questions.
Finally, someone was grilling him on the important things.
Yep.
And not stupid Starburst conversation.
Yep.
So he talked to Ken Rosenthal about his offseason, and Ken detailed their conversation earlier today.
The most interesting thing he said from a news value standpoint, again, was, yes, he is willing to go back to the outfield, perfectly willing. He has no preference. And his thought is, if the Phillies can get a first baseman who is a difference-making kind of player, then he would definitely do it and gladly do it. But in the meantime, he's at first base. He is happy at first base and comfortable there. And he enjoys the extra work that he does there. So far, so good. He really rated well defensively according to the advanced metrics last season. So he's there for now. But the scenario he mentioned during the offseason was, if there was a chance the Phillies could have gotten Pete Alonso toward the end, then maybe at that point, sure, he would have moved back to the outfield, but that never really materialized at all. So it was just a thought in his head.
Really interesting. And if it's true, it changes a lot. Now, what I thought was off of that real quick is I wonder how Reese felt about that quote. Because
they basically let Reese go because Bryce wanted to play first base.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Well, I mean, I don't know. The quote is a little bit different from what Rosenthal said. So Rosenthal said he is willing to. The quote from Bryce looks like more like he was willing to. The quote is, I talked to the Phillies this offseason about that just in case a guy was available and we needed to get. I'd be more than open to it if we had a guy like that who was going to change our lineup. They like me at first base, but I'd go out there to have a guy who was going to play first base, hit 35 or 40 homers.
Yes.
So I don't know if he means in – I have to say that – whether it is, what's his name, Christian Walker or Pete Alonso, those are two players who, if you bring in either of those guys and have them play first base and have Bryce Harper play the outfield, whether he plays left field or he goes back to right and Nick Castellanos plays outfield, seems like it solves two specific problems. And I wonder, do you think that's true? That he would have?
I think Bryce is a smart enough, and I think he's a smart baseball guy. And I think that if he looks at this lineup, and you're talking about Christian Walker and Pete Alonso, and they would have made this team better. But that quote to me, hopefully, speaks to the idea of Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Right,
because that's a difference making bet. That's going to cost over $400 million. It's another big thing. So, but
well, he's going to get that extension too,
Bryce.
Yeah.
If he moves to the outfield.
Yeah.
Well, he's 54th in AAV, so we're giving out extensions to everyone.
I don't know what that means.
Average annual value.
No, I mean, I don't know what the man 54 means.
Well, he's
54th in baseball?
54th highest paid player in baseball per year.
Got you.
Yes.
We could talk like humans.
Yeah, I mean, knock it off, man.
Yeah.
This is the Jackie baseball?
I'm sorry, you're right.
We'll get back to the football. No, but it's... Listen, I know that Christian Walker probably would have made this team better, Alonso as well. And the fact that Bryce is at least saying publicly that I'm open to it,
it
would make me excited about the possibility of now opening the door for Vladdy. Now, Vladdy could just come in because Schwarber's gone, and maybe he could be the DH if they wanted, but the idea of also being able to have him play first base, I don't know. It's just it was newsy, it was interesting, and I hope it's a thing.
Is that something that can happen in season this year?
Yeah, if they fall out of it, they could trade him.
Yeah,
because he's not re-signing there. He already determined that 2 weeks ago. So maybe, well, mid-season acquisition.
Hey, man, I mean, you know, who knows?
Well, I mean, it's not dissimilar. I mean, forgetting about moving forward, it wouldn't be dissimilar than what the Yankees did in trading for Soto. Now they traded for Soto the beginning of the year.
They had a full year instead. Yeah.
They had a full year, but they also didn't give up that much. And it wasn't – I think they hoped to re-sign him, but I think from the moment the Yankees traded for Soto, they knew there was a significant chance they weren't going to re-sign him, and they hoped just that year was worth it. So, if the Phillies are in it at that point and Vlad is available and they are at least interested in Vlad past this year, I think it would be an interesting trade.
Yeah, and I think a lot of teams mocked, rightfully so, the Angels a couple of years ago when they were out of it and didn't trade Shohei. They got absolutely nothing for him, and then he just went to the crosstown rival. So I don't think the Blue Jays will make that mistake. Now they have to fall out of it, obviously, but the fact that he's willing to say like I'm open to moving back to the outfield to sign a first baseman, and given how we feel about the current cleanup hitting situation, as long as Schwarber's there or whatever, they need another big right-handed bat. So and the best way to kind of do that is to go get a first baseman.
Do you believe it, Ike?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
I do. I think they obviously need to be in position. But you're going to need this type of move to take down the Dodgers.
Yes.
Like.
you're going to need a little bit of flexibility because the player, you getting the player specifically at the position that you need, who is, is less likely. Like, the more flexibility you can create in adding the bat to the lineup, I think the better off they
are. I'll tell you what, though, it also makes me think that, Bryce is usually kept in the loop on things. They may have already said, listen, man, this could be a move down the road.
Yeah, and he said he specifically said 35 or 40 home runs.
Yeah, he put that stuff out there for a reason. Yeah.
I'm not moving for a 25 home run guy. Right. 35, 40, all right, I get it.
And I know you hated the Alonso stuff when I brought it up, and
because I don't like Alonso.
Yeah, I know. Well, the other part of it was that Alonso is a Boris guy too, which I thought made it more likely that the pieces fit. All right, good report there, Jackie Baseball. Bryce Harper willing potentially to move to the outfield. The subtext in that is if he gets a extension, as I said.
as I'm
reporting it. Now, this is the question I asked Ike before the break. If you haven't heard, the Eagles have re-signed Zach Bond to a 3-year $51 million contract. $34 million of it is guaranteed. He is one of the big four Eagles free agents we are talking about. Number one, obviously, is Kenny Gainwell. Number two, no, I'm just kidding. It was Zach Bond, Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, and Milton Williams. So Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers are jewelers, not just jewelry resellers. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. What would your priority be for the Eagles to re-sign now? Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, or Josh Sweat? First your guess as to what the audience says, and then what your guess is, or what you would prefer.
Well, I think me and the audience are in lockstep here, and I'm going with Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, the audience had it as 65%. Yeah, Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, because here's what I feel. Right, as much as I like Milton Williams, Jordan Davis is still here. I know Jordan Davis doesn't play a ton of snaps, but the Eagles need to decide what they want to do with Jordan Davis ultimately. So maybe you put a little pressure on him to play more snaps this year to see what he can get. At best, Milton's still going to be a rotational player, and they're albeit a effective rotational player. I don't know if they want to pay that amount of money for Milton Williams. And then Josh Sweat, who I think had a very good second half of the season, still can go through little periods where you don't see much out of him, and then he gets these periods where you see him for like four games in a row as well. He's going to hit the market. Some team is out there looking to spend some money. If Josh Sweat is smart, he makes sure he gets the free agency to see exactly what he's worth, unless the Eagles are going to blow his doors away with an offer. Here's why I like Mekhi Becton. A, he's a starter, so you're getting him every snap. B, I think he's still an unfinished product from the standpoint of there's still some edges that could be smoothed out with Coach Stoutland and him getting the coaching still. And there's a slight possibility at his tender age of 25 that they could even mold him back into being a right tackle.
A Lane replacement?
So if Lane is gone in a year or two, you may have the ability to kick Becton out to that right tackle position.
That smells like 2026 Eagles Insider of the Year candidate.
I'm just saying.
Your biggest scoops have been Mekhi Becton related.
You're on the Becton beat.
I'm on the Becton back.
Whoa. Is that a pause moment?
I don't know. Yeah. Kind of figure that one out.
So, I actually think this is a difficult question.
Well, that's all we ask on this show is difficult questions.
Becton, Sweat, or Milton Williams? Mm-hmm. I actually, and I change on this every time I think about it. Today, I'm actually leaning towards Sweat.
Wow.
And here's why. So I thought Elliot, and he occasionally does this, maybe one in every 10 times we have him on, made an interesting observation when he said that they did not have an in-house replacement for Zach Bond, which is why he thought it made it the most likely for him to return. And I actually don't think... And here's where I think Elliot is wrong. So Elliot says, okay, so for Milton Williams, the replacement is Jordan Davis. I agree with that. For Mekhi Becton, the replacement is Tyler Steen. I agree with that too. He said the replacement for Josh Sweat is Jalix Hunt. And I just don't think that now it would be hard for you to not be optimistic about Jalix Hunt, given what he was able to give you this year in a year where I don't think most of us even thought we would see Jalix Hunt get regular snaps. He played a ton of snaps in the NFC Championship and the Super Bowl and played more and more as it went on. But you're talking about, in losing Josh Sweat, losing your sack leader at 9.5 sacks, and you're talking about your potential Super Bowl MVP, you know, if Jalen doesn't throw that pass to Devontae Smith. Mm-hmm. And I don't see the replacement for – for Josh Sweat the same way that I see the replacement for Mekhi Becton and Milton Williams. Now, that doesn't prevent them from going into free agency and getting somebody else, but my worry there is that edge rushers now all of a sudden seem like they are being paid at some outrageous level. Now, maybe that means that Josh Sweat gets paid way too much. That's what's difficult about all this. But I don't see the replacement for Sweat the same way that I see the replacement for Milton Williams and Mekhi Becton on the roster.
Yeah. He's not there right now, especially not from an obvious standpoint. We'll see what Jalen Hunt does this offseason. You know, I think he needs to probably add about 10 to 15 pounds to his frame. You know, you get stronger in that area. Because if you're going to be out there playing more snaps, the more likelihood that offensive linemen get their hands on you. And it wears you down eventually when you really are a light outside pass rusher. He's not going to really bull rush anybody. So his moves, his pass rush moves are pretty much telegraphed.
Yep.
Until he gets that bulk on him and he can do other things. I'll say this. There could be some one-year defensive end signings out there, veteran guys on the market. I think this is a year, when you look at the draft and you look at the D lineman that's coming out, you can get youth, you can get quality depth, and someone that you can develop at a cost-effective price by waiting on the draft. You can sit out and wait in free agency and see what falls to you. Maybe somebody wants to do a one-year deal. But I think a lot of people are going to get overpaid. And I like Josh Sweat. I think he's more of an overachiever, right? But there isn't a dynamic trait to Josh Sweat as a pass rusher. Plays hard.
He's just a good player.
Yeah. And you think about it, the most sacks he's had to, what, 8, 9?
9.5 this year, right? And I think he had
8 this year.
Okay. Do you have 8 this year?
Well, we know Moro Ojomo had 6.
Yeah.
Well, the Eagles' leading sack guy had 8.
Yeah. Okay, then it was Sweat.
8.5.
Then it was Sweat, yep.
Yeah, he had 8 this year. He had 11 in 22.
Yeah, and that was on a stack defense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they had 70 sacks. Do I want to pay $20-something million for that
8
guy?
Sacks? Yeah. Now,
right? Like I said, somebody else is going to overpay him because they're in a desperate situation.
Elliot has mentioned Azeez Ojulari
from the Giants. To cut you off.
No.
I think Nolan Smith could get 8 sacks on a season.
Oh, he certainly could. Yeah. Seeing what Nolan Smith is like now. Yeah. But Nolan Smith is only 1, right? And they rotated 3. And I do think Elliot has mentioned Azeez Ojulari up from the Giants, who is an interesting guy. He's been hurt a lot, but has been productive when he played. And
young player still.
Yeah, and has been a one sack every 2 games type of guy, which is the same as Sweat is. Jack. Becton, Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, you can only keep one. Which one would you keep?
I'm letting them all go, and I'm trading for Myles Garrett.
Well, that is not an option.
How about that? 215.
That is not an option.
So I am re-signing Josh Sweat. I like Mekhi Becton, but also saw them turn a project into an all-pro. Like if there's one position that I believe that Jeff Stoutland can find someone competent, it's the guard position. I mean, we talked about last year how ridiculous it was, the idea of drafting a guard in the first round. So, like, Josh Sweat, it's more just Milton Williams, to me, had an unbelievable season in a contract year. We've seen that a thousand times.
Like, well, Josh Sweat had a good season.
But Josh Sweat's been a good player for a longer time. Milton Williams was awesome this year. But it reminds me so much. He's not as good as Hargrave was, but like Hargrave left and got paid. Timmy Jernigan had the unbelievable year. He didn't reach that standard again. Benny Logan, he's always reminded me of Benny Logan. Never.
Benny Logan.
He reminds me of Benny.
I forgot about Benny Logan.
Loved Benny Logan.
Yeah.
Loved Benny Logan.
Great accent. Great Southern. I think he's from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Benny Logan from New Orleans. Yeah.
I think so. So I'd re-sign Sweat. It's a lot of money, but also I'd feel so much more comfortable heading into next season with Nolan Smith, Jalen Hunt, and Josh Sweat, rather than just having the season with Nolan Smith and Jalen Hunt.
215-592-9494. You can only keep one: Mekhi Becton, Milton Williams, or Josh Sweat. Oh, we haven't talked to this gentleman in a while. Andy in Deptford, you're on WIP. What's up, Andy?
Yo, fellas. Are we live? Are we hot?
What it do?
I like it's that. Are we live? We hot?
You like that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's a throwback.
It's been a while since we've heard
it. It's a throwback.
Yeah. I still got the T-shirt.
So good job, Howie, getting Zach Bond signed up. As far as with Becton, Sweat, and Williams, I think Williams and Sweat priced themselves out of our market right now. And quite frankly, you know, I don't think we're ever going to bring Milt Williams back because you got Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. There's no way we're paying 3D tackles.
Well, the question would be whether they're going to pay Jordan Davis. Jordan, they have to decide whether they're going to pay Jordan Davis or not. So,
well,
yeah,
if you
pay,
pick.
Yeah, I know, but he's only got a year left, so they either have to decide to pick up his option or not. And in that case, they would let Jordan Davis go and keep Milton Williams in that scenario.
Right. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
And then as far as with Slay, I mean, I think that's a good business move, and I kind of like Coop on the inside. I think we just either got to get Rodgers locked down or maybe go for like DJ Reed or Sante Samuel Jr., bring back Rasul Douglas, one of them kind of guys that can man the outside.
Hey, get all the ex-Eagles kids on the team. I mean, you might as well. They're all out
Sante
there.
Sante Samuel's a... Yo, Fritz, you got them Jesus slippers on out in Florida, man.
I had them on last night.
Oh, come on,
yeah,
man.
Those puppies were purring.
Dude.
Keep them dogs covered,
no,
man.
Those dogs are hunting with my nice curved toe.
You slides with socks, man. You can't go open toe. What are you?
Slides with socks? What am I, a high schooler?
Come on, man.
I can't pull that off.
Yeah, you're both wrong. Slides with socks.
Man.
What are we doing here? What is
that's how
is
you
it,
do,
live
man.
In a dorm?
Yeah, I'm not wearing no open toes or no thong sandals. That's for the females.
They're not thongs.
Well, and Andy, to your this is going to be even worse, by the way. Not only did he wear the sandals last night, he wore them to a meal. He wore them to dinner.
Yeah, we're in Florida.
We went out to dinner, and
we're in Florida.
Not only did we go out to dinner, you didn't know how nice the place was. So
I had an idea.
You didn't have an idea. You had never been there.
I went there last year.
What do you wear?
You didn't go there last
year. I did. I went there with my friend.
Okay. Oh, right.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, you don't have any friends.
Quickly, if I can.
I actually got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So many friends. Right. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, sorry,
All
Andy.
Right. Listen on the Phillies. I mean, yes. You know, I can't get hyped up when the biggest signing is a 27-year-old with a 4-plus ERA and an under 500 winning percentage. I mean, what changes had this team made to really make them a legit contender when you got to go against teams like the Dodgers, the Braves, not injured, and then the Mets bringing in Soto? I mean, what have the Phillies done to get the fans fired up and to get us optimistic about this season besides the good weather coming?
Yeah, that's fair. I think a lot of people echo how you feel, Andy. They did bring back a 90-plus win team, so we'll see if they get hot at the right time. But I think it's fair to have how you feel.
A 90-plus team that went to the World Series, and every year after that, they went further and further back from the World Series.
Uh-huh.
Like, yep. I don't see their trajectory shooting up.
But they also won more games, too. Thank you for the call,
everyone,
Andy. I do think to an extent we are underselling. I'm not going into the year saying that I think the Phillies are the favorites to win the World Series. I do think to an extent the way the season ended last year has us underselling how good they are a little bit.
They're underselling how good they are.
I think we're underselling.
Well,
how
I mean,
good
the Phillies are too.
You think?
They don't sound like they're out here looking to win the World Series.
I don't think they're being. I don't think they're beating their chests over
right.
it.
I thought last year it was a little more of that.
Yeah, there was certainly some beating their chests over it. I think maybe last season humbled them a little bit.
There you go.
I don't know. They did win 95 games last year. They have been in the playoffs three straight years. Yeah. I'm not saying
they're not going to be an 80-win baseball team.
No.
No, I think they have
They're
to
a playoff team.
Yeah, they have now being a playoff team with the way the division is now is going to be harder than it's been in years past, but
sure.
I think they should be as well. Like I think this should be a good summer, and I think it should be like my guess is we're getting to the trade deadline and we're saying again that they should do something to put them over the top.
See, I already have their trade deadline planned out. Do you want to hear what it is? They're going to say Andrew Painter was their deadline acquisition.
Oh,
can't you just feel that in your bones?
Well, I can feel you making that excuse when we're doing the deadline show.
I don't make excuses for this baseball team.
Yeah, right.
Andrew Painter doesn't hit.
Well, that's a good point as well. We have enough pitchers.
I know. maybe they put him in the bullpen.
Well, coming up next, we have a guy who may help answer those questions. The general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies, Preston Mattingly, joins us next. Your spring training coverage from Clearwater brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the Battle Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Making it about him.
Here on WIP. Joining us momentarily, Phillies general manager Preston Mattingly. Nepo baby, if there ever was one.
Takes one to know one.
You know what I'm saying? But before we get to Preston, of course, we have to do the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings, which we do every Wednesday at 4:30. We are 2 weeks away, Ike, from awarding the Eagles Insider of the Year Award. It's end cutting time, as they're saying.
Well, I conceded my candidacy.
Yeah, but you did.
Recuse yourself?
Yeah.
Yep, we've heard that one before.
Well, I'm just saying I'm bowing out of the race.
Well, that's
the primaries, you realize you're not getting enough votes.
Yep. That's what you're doing?
Yes.
Well, who was the guy that ran every year and never had a chance?
I don't know.
Ralph Nader?
Oh, yeah, Ralph Nader.
He ran a lot, yep. Yeah. A lot of guys ran a lot.
Ralph Nader.
Yep.
Well, I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
So here are last week's power rankings. Number 5 was Jeremy Fowler. Number 4, Diana Rossini. Number 3, Clay Travis. Number 2, Elliot Shore Parks. And number 1, Tim McManus. I just want to be clear. There's a lot of national people in there because the local beats aren't doing anything.
Wake up.
A lot of informed speculation from the local beats.
Be an insider as we approach free agency. So here we go. We do have some re-entries into the Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Number 5, his first re-entry into the Power Rankings in weeks, the newspaper reporter.
Wow.
As he comes with the report that Lane Johnson likely to redo his contract to give the Eagles more cap space this year. Now, I guess you could say that's not the biggest scoop in the world in that Lane Johnson seems to do that every year. Will probably be being paid by the Eagles in 2082. But it's a report. It's something. We give him credit for it.
Yeah, what if it does? Shouldn't we wait until it happens?
No. They don't wait till it happens. Why should we? Now, if it ends up being wrong, then it will hurt him.
Yeah, but he's already in the rankings.
Yes.
We don't wait until things happen to put them in the rankings. We just let them report stuff.
We put callers in there when they were just making calls with trade ideas.
Look, this is what I'll say. At the beginning, we said sourced reports give you credit and activity gives you credit. But if you're wrong.
We gave you credit for Mekhi Becton as a guard.
That was flat out right.
Yeah, well, it ended up being right. Yeah,
and that's why you're a leader in the clubhouse.
And we won a Super Bowl.
For 2026.
For 2026.
The odds are out. Yeah, the odds are out. Number 4, another re-entry, D. Gunn, as he reports that don't be surprised if Darius Slay winds up back on the Philadelphia Eagles. That was his report as well.
Is Slay back on the Eagles?
No. He wants to be.
It's a report.
Well, I tell you.
Yeah. What? Well?
Well, he...
Shouldn't we wait until Slay is back on the Eagles?
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. Now, again, well, this is how it works. Number 3, dropping one spot from 2 to 3, is Elliot Shore Parks.
I think I was pushing to get him out completely.
Yes.
And you guys fought to keep him in.
Now, the rankings were decided before Zach Bond re-signed with the Eagles, and Ike did agree that he should get credit as he never expressed any worry.
Yeah, but you know? Yeah,
it actually happened. He should be number one. He should be number one on the list.
Number one?
Yes.
No.
It was an easy call.
Yeah, everyone was saying this.
Oh, it wasn't an easy call. We didn't know.
Everybody
Howie
was
basically
saying
said
this.
It at the press conference.
Oh, man.
That Elliot exclusively was at the press conference.
Well, I tell you, E. Let me give you, man, I'm trying to push you up the rankings.
Number 2, out of nowhere, but you recognize this name, Adam Schefter.
Schefty?
Well, you know, Schefty broke the news that Darius Slay was cut this week. Mm-hmm. Schefty also broke the news that Saquon Barkley got his extension.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, he's breaking more Eagles news.
And he broke the Zach Bond news.
So yeah. He's breaking more Eagles news.
So how is he not number one? I mean, is anyone getting bigger scoops than that?
Well, Tim McManus hasn't gotten bigger scoops, but he has maintained a presence the entire year. Now, I'm not saying he can't get knocked out, but where was Schefty all year long? McManus was there all year long. That's what I'm saying. Eagles Insider of the Week.
I got a problem with these ranks. I'm just letting you know.
Well, take it up with the committee.
This might be the first week that I've had a problem.
Really?
With the ranks.
Good.
Yes, it is. I mean, first of all, McManus hasn't done anything in a while.
Yeah, he is resting on his laurels a little bit.
And Shefty just had an all-time week. I mean, he really had an all-time 2 days here, 3 days.
Yeah, but you know he's not Eagles Insider of the Year right now. Like, of the whole year, it's not Shefty.
We're doing rankings. How does this big news that he broke, three straight days, Slade being released.
But the power rankings are about all year.
In Ike's defense, it's like sometimes when you're in a college basketball or college football season, you have a tough stretch of your schedule.
Yeah.
And Shefty just went 3-for-3. Yeah.
So do you think Shefty should be the number one Eagles fan?
As of right now, yes. Yeah.
Elliott's number two and McManus should be three.
That's not going so far.
I mean, who the hell else votes on this?
Even be on here.
We're the only people that vote.
I thought there was a committee.
There is a committee. It's us.
I'm just saying.
You guys should vote different. I don't know what to tell you. The Zach Bond news, by the way, came out before these rankings. I just want to be clear.
We could not possibly adjust on the fly.
Yeah, what the hell are we talking about?
Well, then, fine. Adam Schefter's number one.
Okay,
thank you.
There we go.
Tim McManus is number two.
Number
three, Elliott should be number one because Elliott said that they were going to sign Zach Bond and it happened.
Wait a minute. Who should be number one then, Schefter or Elliott?
Schefter should be number one. Elliott should be number two.
No. Elliott has not been better than McManus this year.
Of late, he has.
He's had better, but he has been wrong about some stuff, too.
And he's got the cap numbers for us that we can't even verify.
He doesn't even know that.
And again, he still thinks he could be a GM.
There are your power rankings for Eagles Insider of the Year.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz in Clearwater at BayCare Ballpark. Philly spring training with Philly's general manager, Preston Mattingly. Thank you for your time, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Honor to be on.
So we say general manager, and what people usually perceive is with general manager, like that's the guy that makes all the decisions, but we have Dave Dombrowski, he's president of baseball operations. So for somebody who doesn't understand, I don't want to be the, hey, what would you say you do here? But what does your job entail? How do you, how are you in that chain and what is under you? What are you in charge of?
Yeah, so as baseballs continue to grow, we try and split up things in the front office. Obviously, I'm here to help Dave and anything he needs with the roster here. Obviously, some things that report to me, like international scouting, player development. So I'm involved heavily with that group too, Georgie Volandi on the international side, and then obviously Luke Merton, our new director of player development.
And keeping that whole thing, you talk a lot about development and the minor league system, all that, keeping that cohesive must be a real challenge. I remember there was a pitcher here named Philippe Aumont, and Philippe Aumont was struggling and said at one point that, well, I'm hearing a different thing when I'm in AA that I'm hearing in AAA that I'm hearing with the Phillies. So how do you manage making sure the messaging is the same throughout their development? It must be difficult.
Yeah, that's always the big challenge, is keeping everybody on the same page. One central message, whether it's coming from front office to player development to scouting. I think we've improved a lot as an industry, honestly. Like we're all heavily involved in amateur scouting. When we acquire players, we know what they need to work on from day one. We get them into the system, and we have plans for them in place.
What would you say to people that say, the Phillies didn't do enough this offseason, and they pretty much brought the same core back? Like, why should we expect something different to happen this year?
Well, I would start with saying we had a really good roster last year and a really good team. And I think, when you add Jesus Luzardo, who has the makings of, he's pitched like a number two, number three starter, top of the rotation guy. Max Kepler's had a high floor in the big leagues for a long time, quality defender, quality base runner, and there is some offensive upside. So I think we did add a few pieces. Jordan Romano's been a guy who's been an all-star closer, pitched the back end of the games for Toronto, so we added him to the mix. I think we liked our roster a lot, and we added a few pieces we think fit with them well.
How do you then, one of the things that Rob Thompson said after the year, I think Dombrowski said the same thing about hitter approach, but a lot of the players are, they're over 30 years old. So how manageable is changing the approach of a hitter once they're that far into their career?
I don't know. That's probably a question great for them, honestly, but I think guys always adapt. And I think you see guys like Aaron Nola has added a new pitch. Zach Wheeler's added a new pitch. I think hitters are always looking to improve and get better. And the technology's gotten, and the information has gotten, better and better as we've gone on. So I think we're trying to provide them the right information to help them maybe have a better approach to the plate in time.
when you look at the team moving forward, right, we focus a lot on what the team is going to do this year, the guys that will make it up to the big leagues. I know another part of your job is also developing the farm system, right, and making sure young players are getting developed. We know about the big three, Crawford, Painter, Miller. Are there any other young players that, you know, have impressed you earlier, or that you're looking sort of see their development in this spring training?
Yeah, I think like a couple guys I would mention is Moises Chace, a kid we acquired from Baltimore in the trade for Soto. And then other ones, Eduardo Taide, he's an 18-year-old catcher, played the full season last year at 17 years old. He'll play in the lower levels this year, but I think he's got a chance to be a, you know, heavy hit power combo and a chance to stick behind the plate. And I can even go on a little bit further on the system. I can start ranting on this for a long time.
Oh, you're going to geek out. I can see it.
Yeah, he, you know, Jack loves all the minor league.
You know, yeah, I think, yeah. You know, we're building something here that's it's going to be sustainable. And yeah. I think where we're at now is not where we're going to be in 5 years. Yeah. We're going to continue to add quality players to the system. And I think, like, you know, we want to be, you know, the team that's looked at across Major League Baseball, across all of sports, that's the best at development, the best at acquisition. That's not just in the amateur draft. That's also international signees and minor league free agents. So I think we're just getting started, and I think we're going to continue to build on this thing.
Well, I mean, if we're going to talk prospects, right? So, listen, Rincon is junior now. People are fired up about him. Turns 24 today. Happy birthday. Is he someone that you see, like, possibly being a corner outfield guy? Could he be in the big leagues this year? People are wondering that.
Yeah, Gabe's been a guy that's been a little bit under the radar. He's had some tough injury luck in the minor leagues. Honestly, some freak thing. You know, sliding into second base last year tears a thumb ligament. He's always been the guy who controls the zone. He hits it really hard, and he has power. So it's like he's a better defender than you think. He's a better base runner than you think. So, I mean, so if he continues to do what he's doing and build off what he's done so far, you know, it's not, you know, stretch to say he's going to impact our Major League club at some point soon.
What has kind of stuck out about, you know, their first camp, Crawford, Kemp, obviously, is up here for the first time, and Aiden Miller. What have you kind of seen from those guys? Is this a pretty big step up?
I would say they're talented, they're comfortable, and they're not scared. That's one of the main things to watch is, like, sometimes you see young kids come in and they're intimidated by the moment. I think with our guys, you know, it's been, like, no fear, no give. And that's what we want to see out of our guys.
We're with Preston Mattingly, general manager of the Phillies. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about you because we got to get into you.
Let's
before you, Fritz over there. So you've been on the High Hopes podcast with him. When you're talking to Fritz, do you feel like you're talking to another baseball guy, or do you feel like you're talking to a guy who's acting like he's a baseball guy and you make him feel like he's a baseball guy?
I think Fritz is a baseball guy.
Okay, all right. Okay,
I got to give him credit there.
Okay, yeah?
He's locked in. Everything from the draft to development.
He is locked in.
He knows them all, so he's locked in, yeah.
Yeah. So you...
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. He got the official, he's a baseball guy from the general manager of the Phillies.
It's called having an eye test.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
He did have some decent Eagles takes this year, too, by the way.
No.
You don't want to give him credit on that? Yeah. Don't give him credit yet on that.
It was all bit.
Yeah.
I was thrilled they won.
You got drafted by the Dodgers right out of high school as a baseball player, and we'll get to the basketball thing in a minute. You got $1 million signing bonus. Do you remember what you did with the money?
Bought a lot of Jordans.
Yeah.
I've never been a big spender, but I do love me some J's. But other than that, I'm pretty simple. Lulu and Jordans, you know. So.
Lulu and Jordans. Yeah.
Well, and we'll get to, because you did have a, even though you got drafted out of high school, you did have a college basketball career we'll get to in a second, but you were scouted out of high school to play college basketball. What went into making the decision to go after baseball rather than basketball?
Yeah, I was always a really good athlete growing up, and honestly, I probably looked at it and saw, like, my future, you know, down the line was probably better in baseball. I was a good high school basketball player, but as you see, I'm 6'2". I'm not some elite shooter, so I was like, I'm not ignorant to think, like, oh, man, I'm going to go be Steph Curry in the NBA. Yeah. I'm the only white kid in Indiana who can't shoot, so yeah. I'm more of a slasher, attack the basket type guy. So, no, I think I just realized my future was more in the baseball side.
Okay, and then I'd rather honestly hear you tell the story, like, of you playing baseball and then going back to college to play basketball. I'm sorry, I know you've told it 100 times, but it's really interesting. So can you talk about that?
Yeah, of course. So I think, like, you get released by your third team. You start to kind of see the writing on the wall, like, hey, this probably is not going to work out for me. Was kind of starting to mess around with playing a little bit. My high school coach, who also is one of my close friends, you know, is convincing me to go back to school. And I told him, hey, if I'm going to go back, I'm going to give you a scholarship because I want to prove that I can play and do this. I went to Indianapolis, trained for a couple months. Teams came in and watched me play. At this point, I'm 24 years old. Teams came in and watched me play. Pat Knight was the head coach at Lamar University, where I ended up going. He came in. I went on a visit there. Obviously, Pat Knight.
And what age were you at that point?
I was 25 when I arrived on campus. So, but yeah, Pat Knight, obviously Bob Knight's son. I grew up Indiana basketball fan, you know, like every kid in Indiana. And just thought it was a good fit for me. And, you know, I went to Beaumont, Texas, the middle of nowhere. Never been there before, but loved every second of it. And I was a very – I'm a very marginal player, but, you know, competition, team sports, you can't beat it. And got three more years. I graduated at 28 after my junior year. So by the end, I got to feel a little bit like a chaperone, but it was a fun experience.
Well, I always thought, like, you know, I went to college the normal 18 to 22 time. But as I got older, I always thought, man, college would have been so much more interesting older because I think I would have been more patient, more interested in learning. Did you find that at all, or were you just there to play ball?
Well, you know, I'm on camera, I think, so I think I was there to do both. You know, I really wanted to play. I love sports, but you realize the value in education, and you know, people, when you're looking to hire people, if you don't have that degree, it's tough to get into the real world and get a job. So obviously a little bit of both, but probably more basketball, if I'm being honest.
There you go.
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, you're making a great transition into this field, and now having the ability to evaluate talent and watch guys develop. Also, there is something to your background and how you arrived to where you are that I would imagine allows you to see the athletes a little bit differently. You can be a lot more patient with them and watching them develop.
Yeah, I think I've been through what they're going through.
Right.
So I think I've been through the struggles. I know what it feels like. I know what you go through when you're 0 for 15 and what you have to do to get back to, you know, where you want to get to. So I'm there to help them. I see the good and the bad. I've been through the good and the bad. So, yeah, just want to help the organization and help our players, you know, any way I can.
Who's kind of stood out so far in spring? It's early, but is anyone kind of catching your eye?
Yeah, I think Christopher Sanchez. To me, like, he's a guy that identified that, you know, he came in really good shape. He's got some added strength to his frame. The velocity's up. That allows the whole arsenal to play up as well. So he looks really good. Obviously, you mentioned Gabriel Rincon is off to a good start. I think it's so early, it's hard to tell, but, I mean, this won't be a shock to anyone, but I think Zach Wheeler looks tremendous. You know, his first time out was almost looked like he was in pristine shape, you know, commanding the ball, both sides of the plate, up to 97, which we haven't seen in the past from Zach. So it was a, you know, obviously we don't worry if he's not doing that, but I think, like, it was good to see.
So your dad's Don Mattingly, the Yankee legend. It's interesting. So my dad did sports radio for years, and I never knew it. I never thought about it, but as I got older, there was all this institutional knowledge that I had that I didn't know that I had because I grew up around it. Did growing up in a baseball family with your dad playing professional baseball, how much of that do you think got into you and gave you an advantage, not just as a player, but understanding the game and understanding, you know, everything that everybody's going through?
I think it helps you a lot. I mean, you get to see the high-level stuff, both sides, the good and the bad. And I think, you know, just to me, like, being around people that do things at a high level, like, even, you know, as my dad was coaching in L.A., I got to, you know, just to sit in a meeting with Andrew Friedman and Farhan Zaidi and some of the high-level front office executives, and just you get to see those people do their job. At that point, I'm a college kid.
Right.
But you start to see things that, like, you know, most people don't get the opportunity to do, so I'm obviously very thankful for that.
You were a year away from – you were in the Marlins organization right before he got there, or did I have that wrong with Dodgers?
No, yeah, Dodgers.
Right. What would it have been like to have your dad manage you? How would that have gone?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, I was such a poor player that it probably would have gone the same way, except he would have had to release me.
Yeah. One other quick thing, just I guess, about the job is, so people tend to think about analytics like it's this, you know, dirty word and sort of separate from traditional watching the game and scouting. Is there a way, aside from we do both, is there a way to sort of explain to people how you take both of them in? And has there been, like, have you gone against one because you see something in the other, right? Like, maybe you don't see it with a guy, but the numbers all add up to one thing. So I think that's a big question, but I'm asking how you look at that and how you weigh it.
I think you look at it as information. And I think, like, coaches are so good at their job. And I think, like, why not make them better if you have the information to help a player improve? They know best. if you give them even more information to the – you give them the answer key, they know best how to deliver that to the player. And I think that's how we use it as an organization. And I think, look, you're always looking to improve. You're always looking to get better. So I think like, we're going to use everything available to us.
So Phillies GM Preston Mattingly, can we ask you four quick ones before you go?
Oh, let's do it.
All right. First one, dog guy or cat guy?
Dog.
All right. Do you dog owner currently?
Yeah, English Bulldog.
All right. Ooh, there
hello. You go. Yeah. I want an English Bulldog.
Yeah. They're fun.
It's a good dog.
Man,
yes. Good dog.
It's a good dog.
Yeah. We don't even know what ours are. They're like super mutts. We had no idea. But good answer. Though I used to be a cat guy, but then I became a – you know, I was a cat guy until you get a dog, and you're like, ah. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's why waste the time?
Yeah, dogs. Yeah. Dogs well, as a young single guy, a cat's perfect because you can be away for a weekend and just leave the food out. Dogs don't play with that. All right. Second thing, one food for the rest of your life, but you have to think about everything, right? Not just taste, health. If you could pick one dish, what is it?
I'm a big Thai food guy. I love Penang curry, so any type of curry.
Go. All right. Okay. One movie for the rest of your life is the only thing you can watch.
Bad Santa.
Wow. What an answer.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Really?
Yeah.
You think it's still going to be funny in year three?
It's always fun.
Okay, all right.
And Bad Santa, is that Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, yeah.
It's a good one. And one album for the rest of your life to listen to.
Don't listen to many albums.
Oh, really?
Let's go with,
not a music guy?
Yeah, let's go with 50 Cent, Get Rich or Die Trying.
Oh, that's a good one, too. That's a good one, too. There you go.
I like that.
All right. Well, good luck with this season. As we just told Bryce, we're expecting a lot, and we'll continue to expect a lot. So plan for 5 years from now as well. But we appreciate your time today.
No, thanks for having me on.
There he is, Preston Mattingly, the general manager of the Philadelphia Phillies. Coming up next is everyone's favorite. By the way, Preston Mattingly, is he a recurring guest on High Hopes?
Yeah. Once or twice a year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Nice. Look at this big dog over here.
Listen, only the big guests.
Wow. Look at this big dog over here.
Listen, I'm just trying to keep up with your little podcast.
Yeah, well, yeah, try to keep up. what is coming up in the top five at five?
The funniest things that happened in the last day.
Oh, again? You have five more?
I was able to find five, including.
Oh, no.
Unbelievable. It's actually not our trip related. The couple is trip related. Unbelievable audio from the morning show this morning, and a disgrace to Cincinnati.
Whoa.
And the station. Okay. We will break down that audio coming up next of one of our favorites.
Wow, that is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike and Spike and Fritz.